which vibrate with life itself, which is God himself. You know, we should be, and this is true, if you know, that we carry the frequencies of God in us. Not so we can keep them, and that's so we can release them and we can change things. Okay. But we have a choice. We can choose to release frequencies of life or frequencies of death. Isn't that right? Remember, words carry frequencies. God said, the word says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. What you say, you can carry frequencies of life, frequencies of death. You know, and it talks about that in James, you know, for a believer, there should not be life and death in our tongue. And often there are frequencies of life and death. And he said that, remember, the Bible says it shouldn't be like that. You know, can a stream, be bitter and can it be sweet? No, it's one or the other. And the body of Christ, we need to have a sweet frequency coming from our mouths, a frequency of life. So in the same way that unity can release a powerful frequency, so can disunity. It brings confusion and it brings strife. So did you know that people can be really united, and yet they can be releasing death frequencies? You must say, is that possible? Well, yes, absolutely. It depends what unity is centered around. Our unity needs to be centered around our Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be centered around love, forgiveness, mercy, grace, truth. Absolutely. But when people come together in unity for an evil cause, they release frequencies of death. And an example would be when the Nazis that rose up, you know, that affected a whole nation. It brought a frequencies of death over a nation and over a whole continent of Europe. And it put Germany and much of Europe under a covering of hate and fear and violence and murder. How did that happen? It's because Hitler, one man, had frequencies coming from them that united a people, but it was a cause of hate. It brought hope for a while to them that they were a great nation. You know, it's pointing out they were a great nation. Yes, they were meant to be a great nation. But he joined them together, and amongst one of the things, of course, was the hate for Jews, telling them they were the cause of their problems, because a lot of the Jewish people, you know, they were very wealthy and they're great business people. And so there was this jealousy and this stirring of hate, and all these frequencies released out, which changed a nation, changed Germany, which had been the great place of Reformation. A great awakening came from that nation. How it could become used for hate and murder, it boggles the mind, doesn't it? But, you know, it doesn't have to be something as extreme as Nazism to unite people in a way that is negative. It can happen in our homes. You know, even in a church where there's murmuring, where there's criticism, where there is judgmental, where there are judgmental attitudes. It's getting very quiet. If you're fidgeting, I think, are they a bit suspicious? Don't fidget. So, you know, but in a church there can be envy, there can be bitterness, there can be all of these things. You know, when there's bitterness and strife in a church, it releases frequencies of darkness, absolutely, which actually gives darkness away into a church. A church is supposed to be filled with the life and the light of God. Totally. You know, we've got to be so careful about this. This is why the Bible is so strong about this sort of thing. It's so strong and it stands against murmuring and criticism and divisions and factions and churches. It says in Romans 16:17, now I urge you, this is urgent, in other words, this is really urgent, guys. Brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You know, we have a saying, avoid them like the plague. If you touch them, you're going to get the plague. And that's so true, you know. That is how dangerous the Bible sees these people are. When they cause factions, when they cause divisions, when they're murmuring, whether they're criticizing, They're so dangerous that God says to avoid them because they will contaminate you, how you think, how you feel about things. And where once you were quite happy about things, you think, oh, yeah, I see what you mean now, you know, and then you'll start to get tainted. So, and Satan and his demons, they're unified, but they're unified around hate. We're unified around love. They're unified around hate. They release through hate their death frequencies into this earth. There is no love in Satan's kingdom. No love at all. They cannot love. It's impossible for them to love. They lost that ability when they were kicked out of heaven, Satan and all his horde. It was Lucifer then, before he got kicked out. So, you know, it's impossible for them to love. They hate. They even hate each other. Satan doesn't love. He doesn't love his crew. He hates them. But they all hate each other. You can see where hate comes from, can't you? But most of all, they hate the body of Christ. They hate us for what we stand for. You know, we see in the Bible a power of unity in the building of the Tower of Babel. Remember that? But it wasn't being built for the glory of God. It was being built for the glory of man. And Satan, he was behind it. He was the influence behind it until God stepped in. And he even said, you know, there was nothing, there was such unity. There was nothing that, you know, they could be withheld from them. They were in such unity. And so he divided their tongues. Because they were just, what was happening was becoming going to be really, really evil. And so, but that was a real example of where unity is powerful, but it was used for the negative. And how God stopped it was the dividing of tongues. And see, that's what Satan does to us. He said, oh, that worked. We'll try that on the body. He'll try and divide what we are saying, what we stand for. He'll try and divide our unity by influencing our thinking and influencing what we say. He does not want us thinking and saying the same things. He's out to divide and conquer totally. And so he is actually terrified. Satan's terrified that the body of Christ will come together in unity as one. He's terrified it because he knows the tremendous power we will carry. See, individually we carry a certain amount of power, but together we have a tremendous amount of power, huge amount of power. Okay, so Satan has power in unity, but nothing compared to the power that will come from us when we are in unity, releasing the glory of God. It's just going to be so powerful. When we as a church are in full unity and all the churches are in unity, then all the body is in unity. You know, that's when the glory of God is going to cover this earth. And that's why Satan is fighting this. So, you know, if you find yourself, you know, in a place of a bit clicky and people are talking and murmuring, shut them down. Don't allow it. Say, no, you'll not speak that. Don't say that. You know, we're building a church of unity. We have power, the power of one. We are one body in this church. Amen? All right, Jesus prayed in John 17:20. I don't know whether I've got these. Oh, I did. Okay, here we go. I do not pray for these alone. Now, he prayed for his disciples, but then he went and prayed for us, for every generation to come, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Say, one. We are one. Okay. We are one. Oh, that was so much better. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, it's going to impact the world. They're going to start to believe. They will see something, and they will believe. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. What's the glory? Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've got the glory in us to be one. We have no excuse except for this thing. Okay? <That's laughs> We need to control our tongues. All right? Absolutely. You know, through all eternity and forever and ever, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They just flow together. There's no division amongst them. They're in total unity. Their thinking and their words, they never contradict one another. They're united in purpose and heart and in love. And that's what we must be like, united in purpose and heart and in love. Amen? That we, you know, we need to look at each other and think, you know, I love that person. Christ is in that person. You know, and we're going to spend eternity together, so we better get used to it. Better start liking each other now. All right? Okay, you know, Jesus never prayed a weak, faithless prayer. There's faith in his prayer. When he prayed a thing, you could be 100% certain it will come to pass. He prayed that we may be one. And we're in the time of one. This is the time where we're going to be one. None of his prayers fell to the ground. They always accomplish something. So unity in the body starts in the church, in the local church. But if Satan can keep individuals divided by causing factions in the church through gossip, through unbelief, he effectively limits the power of God. How many of you want to see God's power limited in this church? Listen to that question again. How many of you want to see the power of God limited in this church? Yeah, that was a sneaky one, wasn't it? It wasn't meant to be sneaky. No, none of us do. Nobody put your hands up. So let's not limit the power of God. Let's be united. We're going to change our community. We're going to change our world. Amen? Going to change our family. We're going to change ourselves is a good start. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to be united. You know, let's start the ball rolling. Why not? Got to start somewhere. Why can't it start in our church? That we're the most united people anywhere. Amen? And we're going to see such amazing things happen. Okay. All right, so we're not going to be divided. When we come together on a Sunday, we come to worship as one. You know, God's glory can be manifest when we worship as one. You know, things start to change. There'll be manifestations of the angelic realm. And already people have said, oh, I saw this, I heard this. Things are already happening. But we can have more. Absolutely more. God's got so much more for us. So God is releasing great power into the earth to be demonstrated through his church, through his body, through his sons, through his daughters, through the manifest sons and daughters of God. You're it. You're it. You're a son, you're a daughter of God. You're one or the other. Right? No confusion. Son, God, son, daughter. We're the manifest sons and daughters of Almighty God. And we can bring change. God's designed for us to be manifest who we really are. God's daughters, God's sons in the earth. Use Jesus as our example. We should be like him. We should be doing the works that he did. But greater works, he said. Not just the same works, he said, but greater works than these will you do. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? But we're going to do it. The body of Christ is going to do it. So, for an army to be powerful, it has to be united. There is no army that can be powerful when there's disunity. An army has to be united, isn't that right? Yes, that's right. If it's going to win the war, it has to be united, doesn't it? Totally. In every way. So we have to mobilize like an army. It's time for us to mobilize, do the haka. Yeah. Yeah. Do they have women doing hakas or with men? Yeah. Oh, they do? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Wow, there we go. There's a challenge. There's a challenge. Woohoo. Come on, we've got enough here to form a haka group, haven't we? That's right. I don't know whether I'd look very good doing it, but yeah. You'd look good. Yeah, I'd look great. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so here we are talking about an army. We're going to mobilize like an army. We have the authority over darkness. We're going to push back darkness. We can command. We command the host of heaven. Amen? An army always follows its commander. Amen? Jesus is our high commander. We follow his commands. We follow his orders. Amen? We follow his instructions and his directions for how we ought to live, how we ought to act. It's not hard. It's easy when he lives in you. He empowers you to be like him. He gives you the grace of God, which is his enabling power to win and to have strength. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he is leading us in triumph. He leads us in triumph, always. He doesn't lead us in defeat. Isn't that good? Isn't that great to have a commander-in-chief that will lead us in triumph? That's the sort of army I want to be in. I would not want to be in an army where the chief sometimes leads you into defeat. See, we don't have defeat. You say, well, I've had defeat this week. That's okay. You're on the winning team. We win. Our commander leads us in triumphant. We are the triumphant church. We're not the untriumph. What's the opposite of triumph? Losers. We're not losers. We're not the losing church. We're the winning church. We triumph over wickedness, over evil, over every wicked thing the enemy brings against us. We win. I don't care what the devil tries to throw at us. We win. We have the power within. Amen. Say, I have the power within. And I win. Cool. Excellent. Very good. So Jesus said, every kingdom divided, and said in Matthew 12, 25, I may have given that, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. That's why we must be for each other. We're not against each other. We're for each other. We're for you. When you're going through stuff, we're for you so you can win and come through triumphantly. Amen? Isn't that exciting? We're not divided. It says a city divided against itself will fall. So a church, when it's divided, will fall eventually. A church has to be united. The body has to be united. We are the body of Christ. Yes. Yay! Go, girl, yes. You know, Jesus didn't describe us as the body of Christ just to be a nice statement. Oh, that sounds cute. Yeah, call them the body of Christ. No, he made that because he meant it, that we are a body. A body functions together as one. Isn't that right? It's one. It's just not a nice statement. He wants you to know that we are designed by the Creator himself to work together as a body. We cannot function in power and in the glory if the body is divided. As I said, if you have your little powwow and little circles and it's murmuring and criticizing, shut it down. Stop it. Don't do it. We're to love each other, we care for each other, we encourage each other, we build each other up, we don't tear each other down, we cheer each other on. Amen? Okay, so we're going to not hinder God's work at all. We are to function as one. Yes, you may be the hand, so your purpose will be different from someone who is the foot, okay? So what are hands for? They're designed to create, to make, to work, to repair. But unless the feet take you to where you need to be, you can never use your hands. Amen? So just because you're a hand doesn't mean you're it. You're a hand. What about the rest of the body? We need each other. We all have skills. Different skills. That's why God puts us together to function differently. But together we function well. Isn't that right? We function as one. We operate in the power of one. We're powerful. Man, you're powerful on your own. I've been trying to get into it. You know, you're powerful on your own, but not as powerful as a body. As a body, we can change our community. We can change our nation. Yes. Whew, getting a bit excited up here. Okay, let's read Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. I thought I said a really short message. I don't know how long I've been going. I was sort of saying to God, God, I haven't really got much. But it's funny when you get up here, eh? Things change, things happen. Yeah, just as well. Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. But speaking the truth in love, so we speak truth, love, we speak in love, okay? I've had people come to me, oh, just want to tell you this in love. I thought, okay. Wasn't much love in that. In fact, no love in that. Speak this in love somewhere else, thank you. Just spill your love on somebody else. I don't want that sort of love. Okay. Speaking the truth in love, God's love, true love, okay? May grow. This is what we'll do. When we speak the truth in love, we'll grow up. So I'm going to grow up. Good. Grow up, will you? Hurry up and grow up. That you will grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Isn't that awesome? We're going to grow up. We're going to be just like our Savior. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, every part, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that awesome? It causes growth in the body, and it edifies itself in love. It builds itself up in love. Isn't that powerful? That God wants to build us up in His love. His love is powerful. There's no love more powerful than God's kind of love. It's powerful. It's not tainted in any way. Pure love. Pure, pure love. So, are we mature enough to overlook differences? Are we mature enough to let go of offences? Are we mature enough to forgive, to love, and to look at each other's good points? You know, I make it my motto to believe the best of every person. Yes, I get disappointed sometimes. But I want to believe the best of every person. Because God has got a gift on every person's life, whether they're in the body of Christ or not. Everyone born into this earth, God marked for Himself. They're not all going to go to Him, but He wants them. And they have gifts. He put special gifts in each and every person. Absolutely. So we need to see the gifts on people. You know, sometimes I'm sitting, I might be watching some TV thing, and I see somebody who's so gifted, and I see the gift on their life, and I just think, God, they've got to be in your kingdom. They've got to go to heaven. You know, like I see people, these amazing, perhaps someone who's just amazing, creators or beautiful, make these fabulous gardens. I think, man, they've got to go to heaven. They haven't seen gardens till they get to heaven. You know, and I just start praying for them. And, Lord, I just want to see them saved. I want to see that person saved. Lord, I ask for their salvation. Send somebody there to win them. Because, you know, because you see a gift on them. They may not know Christ yet, but there's this gift in them that's from God. So let's just look at people like that. Let's see each other differently and encourage each other. Speak kindly about one another. Cheer and each other on to run the race and to finish the course. Let's finish this race together. Amen? Let's run the course. You know, some of you will understand the term synergism. If you've been to MDC, you would know that one. Some of you wouldn't even know what MDC is anymore, but it's ministry development course, which we would run from this church. But anyway, it's where the sum total of the whole is greater than the sum total of the individuals. And that's true unity. And the great example is a platoon. You know, when an army, I should get you up here, Rod, or something, you know, because I probably look stupid marching. Oh, I can't even march. Right. Stop laughing. It can't be that bad, is it? Anyway, a platoon, they're marching. Okay, aren't they? They're marching in unity, okay. I know I don't look the part. They are marching in perfect unity. Stop it. Anyway, we're an army. When an army, you know, are marching and they come to a bridge, they're told to break step, aren't they? And so they no longer march. So they go like this over the bridge, and then they get back into their step. Why is that? It's because when the marching is one, there is power, and they're releasing this frequency that if they hit that bridge and they keep that stance of marching, 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 the same frequency, the moving as one, that it will cause confusion in all the atoms in that structure, that structure will collapse. That's what unity does. That when we march as one, all of the enemy's plots and schemes start going like this, and his plots and schemes collapse, and sickness will collapse, poverty will collapse, every evil work of the enemy will collapse, when the body of Christ will march together in unity. There is power in one. It's the power of one. One body. One body. Jesus hasn't got a whole lot of bodies. He's one body, the body of Christ, of which he is the head. And there's power in that. Can you see that? Woohoo! Okay, I won't embarrass you by marching anymore. So we've got to march as one and speak as one. When we speak life in the church, when we speak life to one another, when we speak life out there in our community, wherever we are, when we speak the kingdom principles, you don't say, thus saith the Lord, you're just speaking kingdom principles. But they're carrying the light and the life of God. And you know what will happen? They will start to change things. We're here to change. We're releasing the frequencies of God powerfully, especially when we are united and we go out there. We come in here, get fired up, and then you go out there and we're speaking the things of God. We are speaking life. We're releasing life. We're releasing light. And we are destroying Satan's plots and schemes and plans. You know, whatever he's just decided, he's saying, I'm going to do this to this community. We are going to say, no, the body of Christ is so strong, so much in unity, and we speak in the same things that it will destroy his plots and schemes. Amen? Okay. I tell you what, when Satan hears the frequencies we release when we start marching as one, he'll be scared spitless. Have you ever been scared spitless? Scared spitless. Your mouth is so dry, there's no spit. Have you ever been scared like that? You know, a few times I have, and there's suddenly your mouth, I don't know what happens, but your mouth goes dry as. Absolutely. And you know, that's what we're going to do to the enemy. He's have no spit left, okay? You know, that no one, the world has never seen yet the church moving as one. Never. The church hasn't even seen itself moving as one. We've seen it in part. We saw it in part in Acts 4. I don't think we've got there, but let me just quickly read this. Hold on. Hold on. I've got it marked, so it don't take so long. Here we go. Acts 4, 24. So when they heard, you know, they'd just been punished, you know, the whoever it was, John or somebody. Peter probably. Yeah, yeah. There's Peter. Yeah, they were the ones. Okay. They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David have said, and so forth. He said, they say a whole lot of things. For truly, verse 27, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, yep, so they're going on, they're all saying the same thing. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus, holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of them he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. This was the body of Christ working together as one, and great power was on them. Great power. You know, we've seen glimpses of unity through the generations, through the centuries, where there's been unity and great revivals broke out. But or eventually factions or divisions occurred, disagreements came in, and they spoiled what the Holy Spirit was doing. And because of disunity, the glory of God lifted and the movement stopped. But we are in a whole new time. We're in God's kingdom time. And God is releasing powerful frequencies of the kingdom where we open the way for heaven to come into this realm. You know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're bringing heaven's will down to this earth, God's glory to this earth. And when we move as one and praise as one, heaven will converge with the natural realm. When we guard our hearts, when we learn to love each other as Christ loves the church, we will march forward as a mighty army, destroying every demonic thing in our path, because we are releasing a powerful frequency of love and unity into the atmosphere around us that will vibrate at a high frequency that will destroy the works of darkness and everything of the enemy. Almost finished. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together. Isn't that powerful? Imagine if we could be perfectly joined together with the same mind and in the same judgment. We all have the same judgment because our judgment comes from the word of God. You know, we know what is right, what is just, what is right. You know, probably one of the most startling examples of the power of one can be seen in Jericho. You know, when they came up to Jericho and God said, this is your city, I've given you it. And, you know, that was, if you know anything about history, it was powerful, huge walls around it, and it looked totally, how could you ever break into that place? But they had instructions from God. They listened to their commander, and Joshua told them what they had to do. For 6 days they were to march around and take their armed men in front, then the priests with the Ark of the Covenant of God. 7 priests were blowing trumpets, and then behind them they had the rear guard behind them. But not a word was to be spoken. And they marched around on day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Day 7 came, God said 7 times around it, and on the 7th time, when you've been around on the 7th time, you're to blow the trumpets and you're to shout. Well, they did that. They blew the trumpets, they were in total unity, and when they blew the trumpets and they all shout with one frequency, it says the walls went flat, down into the ground. They didn't just crumble, they went right down into the ground. In fact, they've found, you know, ruins, excavating it, you know, a whole, you know, massive, we're talking about massive walls, massive, but wider than this building in width, massive, supernatural. I tell you what, that's the power of one. You know, and I know God told them to keep their mouths shut because their mouths would have got them into trouble and they would have never had that result. Somebody said, oh, I'm getting sick of this. Oh, what's this for anyway? This is not going to work. How's this going to win the city? And then you know what? Nothing would have happened. He kept them in unity until the moment when the trumpet sounded and they all went, woo! Woo! And those walls went down flat. Amen? Well, we can have miracles like that too. When we start to walk and talk the same thing, that there be no division. We won't allow any divisions at all. But can we be trusted to work as one? Okay, let's say that again. Can we be trusted by God? Can he trust us to work as one? Yes! Cool. That was better. All right, I think we can do better than that even more. Try over here. Okay. Can we work together as one? Yes! Woohoo! Oh, that was better. That was really good. Great. So we're working together as a team for a purpose. And we can be trusted. We just told God. He took note. Do you know that? He always takes note of what we say. Say, well, I didn't really mean that. Too late. Too late. It's down, written down in the books in heaven. Sorry. Yeah, no, too late. We've heard. It's written down. We are armed. We're the soldiers of God and we are armed. We can't say, well, I've got no weapon. Yes, you have. You have. You've got the word of God in your mouth, sharper than any two-edged sword. You've got the host of heaven who will go at your command and go destroy strongholds and plots. You've got praise is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. We've got all these. Love is a weapon. Love conquers all. Amen? So we've got all these weapons so that we can have the victory. We can make declarations. We can make decrees. We can rule and reign in the earth. Amen? We are a fully equipped army. We've got the big guns, the little guns, the tanks, bombs, everything you need to win the war. We've got it. We're powerful. We're powerfully armed. Amen? And we're going to win the war. We can take Satan and his army down. But we've got to learn to walk as one. And we can do it. We have the words and commands of our commander-in-chief in our hearts. We should have it in our mouths and in our minds so we can experience the fullness of the power of one. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you, Father, that we can be this army. How about we just stand up? So how about we make a declaration. Is that all right? Okay. Okay, let's go. Father God, we choose to move as one. We are an army and we walk in sync with our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. We release words of life, love, kindness, encouragement. We resist the devil. We resist his thoughts and his words and his ways. I will not speak against my fellow believer. I link arms with my church family. We shall move forward as one, taking back territory from the enemy, bringing life, hope, freedom and justice into our lives, into our community, into our nation, and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Woohoo! Amen.